Amen. We thank God for this day. We thank God for this occasion that we're here today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We thank the choir for leading us in our songs of praise and worship. We thank you for being here. It just wouldn't be the same if you didn't show up. And we thank God for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because sometimes it seems like life's out of control, but we know that God is still in control. Amen. Your responsive reading today came out of, your scripture reading today came out of John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I want to deal with that today in my sermon, but I just want to lift up today the last verse, verse 18. John chapter 20, verse 18. And it reads in this way, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord, and she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen. Amen. Remember, that was a time that I had misplaced my keys, and not just some of my keys, not just my car keys, but I misplaced all of my keys. And Alicia and I, we had been out, and it was late at night, and I was tired, and she got out of the car before I did, and she had her keys, so she went on into the house. And so I didn't have to use my keys to get into the house, and so I went in the house, and I sat down, and I started doing some work. But I needed my Bible, and my Bible was in my bag, and it was in the trunk of my car. And so I had to go back out to the car, but I couldn't find my keys anywhere. I looked in all of the usual places that I would have placed my keys, but no matter where I looked, I still couldn't find them. So I came to the conclusion I must have locked my keys in my car. And so I went back out to the car, and I tried to look in the window. But it was dark outside by that time, and I got a little tint on my window, so I couldn't see through the window good enough. So then I had to go back in the house, and I had to get a flashlight, and I'm looking through the window with my flashlight, and I'm out there for about 10 minutes, and I don't see my keys anywhere. And so frustrated, I go back inside the house, and when I get into the house, I open up the door, and Zion's standing there dangling my keys in front of me. And I said, where was my keys at? He said they was in the back of the junk drawer. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know what my keys were doing in the back of the junk drawer, but I do know I'm not the only one that has misplaced or lost sight of something important before. I'm not the only one that has misplaced their keys. Lost your wallet. Lost your glasses twice. Lost your remote control. Are you with me? And after you found them, if you found them, how many of you know that they were probably in the most unlikely and unexpected place to begin with? And that's what's so ironic about losing something you use all the time. You know all the places where you may put them, but when they're not in those usual places, you can bet your bottom dollar you'll find it in the most unexpected place. And we've all done it before. But when you found sight of that lost thing, didn't you feel relieved? Didn't you feel better? Didn't you feel elated? Well, just imagine how Mary felt after she saw Jesus crucified and buried in a borrowed tomb. When she went to the tomb and found that the large rock that the Romans placed over the tomb was rolled away, but the tomb was empty. It's one thing to misplace your keys, but to lose sight of the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's one thing to lose your glasses, but how do you lose the one who sees everything because he's everywhere? It's one thing to lose your wallet, but what do you do when you can't find the one who has the whole world in his hands? What do you do when you need the Lord, but you can't find him anywhere? When you find yourself in trouble, and God is the only one who can help you, but no matter how much you pray, praise, or petition, God seems to be silent and nowhere to be found. Am I the only one that ever felt themselves in that predicament before? Well, if you know what I'm talking about today and you feel like me and Mary did, then this sermon is for you. I know that sometimes trouble comes and it feels as if all hope is gone, that God has forgotten about you. But just because God doesn't show up when you want him to doesn't mean that he hasn't, that he's not there, or he just may not have revealed himself yet. But when he does, he usually reveals himself in some unexpected way. He'll show up as a stranger with a kind word, an opportunity that wasn't expected, about making the impossible possible. That's why I want to preach on the topic today, making seeing the invisible God. The invisible God made visible. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm trying to see the unseen. Well, turn to the neighbor that was paying attention and tell them, seek and you shall find. Amen. Well, let's see how the invisible God is made visible and what that means for us today. Jesus has been crucified on the cross, and he's buried in a borrowed tomb by the secret disciple Joseph. The Jews, who were complicit in the execution of Jesus, knew about Jesus saying that he would have to be executed, but in 3 days he'll be resurrected from the dead. And they were concerned that some of his followers would actually steal the body of Jesus and perpetuate his following, and that his following would grow. So they petitioned to Pontius Pilate, not just to seal the tomb with the stone, but to put your government seal of approval on it, so no one would dare try to open up the tomb and steal Jesus' body. And our text says that early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene, a close follower of Jesus, went to the tomb and saw the stone that protected the body of Christ had been rolled away. And in a panic, Mary found Peter and John and told them that they've taken away the Lord's body and we don't know where he is. So Peter and John, dazed from this new news, made a mad dash to the tomb. Now, both were running, but John was just a little bit faster than Peter, and John beat Peter to the tomb, and he looked down into the tomb. But when Peter got there, he ran all the way inside to see up close and personal if Jesus was actually there. And when he went in there, he found that there was nothing there left but the wrappings that was around Jesus' body, separated from one another. And after Peter went in the tomb, John goes in and sees what Peter sees, and then the Bible says, and they believe. This entire story from start to finish is all about trying to locate Jesus. Mary went to see him in the tomb, and upon arrival found out that he wasn't there. And they reported that they took his body and no one knew where he was. Even when Peter and John went to the tomb, but the only conclusion they came to is that Jesus was no longer there. But upon further investigation, we began to see that the reason why Jesus wasn't there may be different from what Mary supposed. Well, I want to suggest today that we all know how Mary was feeling. When you go to a place where you think you'll find Jesus, and when you get there, you feel disappointed because you can't find Jesus anywhere. Sometimes that even happens in church, and everybody else is shouting and praising God, and you wish you felt the way they felt, but there was nothing there for you. Sometimes you hear all that the Lord has done for others, and you wonder, when is he going to give you your spectacular testimony like he gave to somebody else? Well, brothers and sisters, I know what it feels like to look for the invisible God. The main question that someone asks of God when trying to see God is, show me. Show me that you're real. Show me that you care. Show me that I can trust you at your word.
But I have to tell you today that you're going about seeing the invisible God the wrong way, because you're trying to see so that you can believe, but that's backwards and anti-productive in God's world. For the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Some of y'all know that, and y'all can help me preach this thing together. We walk by faith and not by sight. You see, you just missed your praise break. Because I just gave you a clue on how you can see the invisible God. You see, the reason you can't see the invisible God is not because he isn't there, but rather you're looking for God with the wrong lenses. When you go to the doctor and you need a new pair of glasses, the doctor has to examine your eyes and give you a prescription so that it will increase your strength and that it would overlap your weaknesses in your eyes. Therefore, if you put on somebody else's glasses, you may not be able to see as clearly as when you put on your own glasses. You have to have the right kind of lens in order to see clearly. So when you're looking for the invisible God, the right prescription isn't see before you believe, but rather it's believe so that you can see. Amen, somebody. I remember sitting in church disgruntled and just angry at God, because no matter what I did, I couldn't find any peace in my life. And it wasn't that I was all that bad. At least I didn't think I was all that bad. And it's interesting that we can always find someone worse than us when we're trying to justify the crazy that we do. I wasn't that bad. I knew I was a little bad, but there were so many other folk that was worse off than I am. I'm just preaching to myself today, because I know some of you are looking at your neighbor and you saying, but Lord, I ain't that bad. And if you keep blessing them, when you gonna bless me? But you can't get no blessing looking at somebody else, because the truth of the matter is, if you compare yourself to Jesus, we're nothing but filthy rags. You don't deserve nothing, no way. You can't go to God and think because you ain't got it as bad as somebody else, you ain't got caught as much as somebody else, you haven't been in as much trouble as somebody else, that God deserves to give you anything. No matter what I did or didn't do, I still couldn't find peace until I fully committed to God. Then I remember praying to God, because it was when I was at the end of my rope, I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. That's a real dangerous thing to say to God, because he's about to tell you some things you can do, and you can't go to the Lord and say whatever and then try to renege on God. I had made that statement before in times of stress and strain, but this time it was different. This time, I really meant it. Somebody been there before. You've been trying to bargain and barter with God. Lord, if you get me out of this jam, somebody needs to listen to what I'm saying today. Lord, if you get me out of this jam, I'll go to church this Sunday. Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I'll pay my tithes this morning. Lord, if you get me out of this relationship, I'll make sure that I do everything the same way you said do it. But the Lord had to show you, you can't barter, you can't bargain with God. It's either his way or no way, is what he said, or you don't get it at all. That's some of our problem. We're trying to make up our rules as we go, and we want to say the Lord is on our side. You better get off of your side and get on the Lord's side. Amen, somebody. This time I responded in faith, because I felt that everything I had betrayed me, but God was the only one that didn't leave me. And the cliche is true. You don't know that God's the only one that you need until the Lord is the only one you have left. And when I gave myself to the invisible God, that's when I saw his mighty hand at work. And I have to tell you today, something physical happened to me while I sat in that seat in church and I said that prayer. It was as if I had seen the world for the first time. The sky was the brightest blue. The grass was the greenest green. The light that shined in the church seemed to illuminate everything around me. And peace fell on me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And in a twinkling of an eye, I saw and experienced the invisible God in my life. But I first had to believe before my transformation came. You see, when Peter and John went into that tomb, they saw that Jesus' burial clothes was left behind, but they didn't look like they'd been unraveled by someone trying to make a quick escape. In fact, because there was a burial cloth left behind to begin with without the body, that would make one wonder what kind of grave robber takes the clothes off of the body before taking the body. That just didn't make any sense. But even after Peter and John went into the tomb for further investigation, the Bible said they believed. The question really is, what did they believe in? But there is a note next to the text that explains that though they believed, they didn't understand the scripture that Jesus had to be raised from the dead. Therefore, they couldn't see the reality of a risen Savior because they were believing the wrong thing. Take a look at the scripture, for after they saw that Jesus wasn't there, their response was to go back to their homes. The Bible says they believed, but then they went back home. I have to point out to you today that just because someone looks like they believe in the resurrected Lord doesn't mean that they really believe. Some of you can't see the invisible God working in your life and performing miracles because you have the wrong belief system. Yeah, you believe that Jesus is not in the tomb, but you don't believe that he's in your life making intercessions for you in front of God the Father. You believe that God is able, but you don't believe that God would do it for you. You believe that your sins are so great that God can love you or change you, or that he cares for you, even though he's done it for so many other people before. That's why you can't see the invisible God. You see, when you believe in the wrong thing, then there won't be much transformation in your life. Nothing changed much for Peter and John on that day. They saw an empty tomb, and then they went back home, and they locked the door. You can't put your faith in the risen Savior and then go back to business as usual. Amen, somebody. If you're struggling to make changes in your life, you need to put your trust in the risen Savior, because if he defeated death on the cross, then he has enough power to overcome all of your problems. If you want more from God, then you have to put God first in your life. You have to change your belief system. And let me try to help you with some of that today. If it wasn't your good paying job that takes care of your needs, but it was God. Just ask somebody that lost their job, but God made sure they still had a roof over their head, clothes on their back, shoes on their feet, and they didn't lose their mind under all of the pressure. It wasn't that you had the best doctor in your field that you're still here today, but it was God. Just ask around to somebody else who's still here, but the doctor said that they should have been gone a long time ago. It wasn't your intellect that got you through that class, because the truth of the matter is you're really not that smart. In fact, you surprise yourself when you pass all those exams, but that was God's favor working in your life. If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you see the invisible God working in your life? Well, if you want to see him, then you have to do what Mary did after Peter and John went back home. She stood outside the tomb crying. You see, she wouldn't leave and go back like nothing happened. And brothers and sisters, sometimes you have to make up your mind that you just won't go back to do what you used to do, living like you used to live. Mary came back with Peter and John, but she made up in her mind that she wasn't going back with Peter and John. You have to have faith in God and make up in your mind that some people you just can't walk with anymore, and that today you have to go in another direction. There's somebody maybe sitting beside you right now, but you better make a decision in your life. And Mary stayed there and cried. But then the Bible says that she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked Mary, "Why are you crying?" She said, "They've taken the Lord and we don't know where he is." And that's when she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. You see, brothers and sisters, the Bible says that Mary bent over to look into the tomb. You see, the tomb was cut out of the side of a mound of rock, and in order to get in, you had to bow down, and oftentimes you had to step in and walk down into the tomb, and the body would be laid inside the tomb, and a large rock would be placed in front of it to deter wild animals and robbers from ever getting in. But when the Bible talks about Mary bending over, I believe that it's not just talking about her physical position, but also her spiritual position. The same word for bent over, it can be found in Mark chapter 1, verse 7, when it says John, he's describing his relationship and connection with Jesus, and he says, after me comes one who is mightier than I am, whose straps of sandals I'm not worthy to bend down and untie. This word for stoop, when we place spiritual meaning to it, also indicates humility. In order to see the invisible God, you have to be like Mary, and you got to get low and humble yourself. Mary bent down. She got low to get close to Jesus. She was crying because her heart was troubled, and her heart pain caused her to get low. When you get low like Mary did, she didn't drop it like it was hot. She didn't twerk it to the floor, but Mary did what the Bible describes in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, where it says, if my people who are called by my name, if they humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. You have to humble yourself before the Lord and declare that your ways are better than my ways. I can't, but you can. You have to be like Mary and keep on seeking his face, because he says, if you ask, you shall see, seek, and you shall find, not, and the door be open. That's how the invisible God is made visible, because humility has a way of rightly focusing our attention. It's like the fairy tale story of the little Red Riding Hood, when she confronted the big bad wolf. When she saw the wolf, she dressed in her grandmother's clothes. She called out what she didn't see was right about the wolf. She said, grandmother, what big ears you got? The wolf said, better to hear you with, my dear. She said, granddaughter, what big eyes you got? Better to see you with, my dear. She said, grandmother, what big hands you got? She said, better to hug you with, my dear. She said, oh, but grandmother, what big terrible mouth you got? She said, better to eat you with, my dear. Well, Little Red Riding Hood knew something was wrong with grandmother, but she couldn't figure out what it was. But when you see yourself humble before the Lord, not only will he refocus your attention, but he'll make the invisible visible. He'll help you see what you're looking at. He'll help you be able to identify what's going on in your life. He'll help you to define what's happening with you. You've been looking at it, but you can't figure it out. That's because you got your focus all wrong. You too busy looking at your problem when you need to start trying to find out where your Savior is. And I got to share it with you today. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how dark it gets. Don't you know that Jesus shines brightest in the darkest hour? He's right there in your problem. He's right there in the midst of your problem. He has a solution for you. He's hope when I feel hopeless. He's a friend when I don't have a friend. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's in the midst of your problem. That's because my Bible teaches me that the Lord is already there making intercessions for me. Yeah, he's all right. Somebody in here is trying to figure out what's wrong with your life. You're looking for God, but you don't see evidence of him anywhere in your life. Well, you have to get low and humble yourself before him. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards him who earnestly seeks him. You remember when Jacob wrestled with God? Jacob held on to him, and he wouldn't let go until God blessed him. And the stranger we identify as God touched him in his hip and knocked out his hip socket and gave him a new walk and gave him a new name. You got to have faith in the Lord. He may give you a new walk and a new name, but it may not feel all that comfortable. That's because the Lord don't want you ever to forget where you came from and what he brought you out of. And sometimes he got to dramatize it so that you don't have the nerve to go back to that hell that he delivered you from. You remember how the three Hebrew boys said they wasn't going to bow down to that golden image? Not even if it meant their life. And the king said, well, it's going to mean your life. And he turned up this fiery furnace and he threw them inside the furnace. But they found out if you got faith in the Lord, that even the Lord will get into some hot situations with you. He'll preserve you and make everybody else wonder, how in the world were you able to make it when those around you perished in the midst of it? You got to have faith. Even Peter had enough faith to step outside of the boat and get on top of the water and walk with Jesus for just a little while. Don't you know the Lord will have you do some miraculous things? But that don't mean you won't get into some trouble just because the Lord told you, come here and get a little closer to me. Sometimes you may feel yourself sinking down and you think you ain't gonna make it, but you got to have enough faith to know who to cry out to. And Peter said, Lord, help. And the Lord pulled him back up and said, ye a little faith. Well, brothers and sisters, y'all may think that's a bad thing, but at least he had enough faith to step out of the boat. And when he got disfocused, he had enough sense to know who to call on. Look what happened to Mary when she saw Jesus. She went back to the same disciples and she told them, you left too soon. You should have stayed behind because I've seen the Lord. And sometimes you leave too soon before your blessing comes. You get discouraged, you get tired, you think the Lord ain't paying attention, you think ain't nothing gonna happen, but if you stay back just a little while longer, sometimes you gotta let some folk go on ahead and it looks like they're progressing. But if you just stay just a little while longer, it ain't that they're progressing, the Lord is trying to get them out of your life so that he can show you who he really is. It reminds me of that 3D picture that they used to have back in the day, and they would put glass over that 3D picture, and on the surface it just looks like some beautiful image, but when they put glass over, you get to see a subtle reflection of yourself back into the glass. And if you don't just focus on the picture, but you begin to look at your reflection, by looking at your reflection, it causes you to actually see through the picture. And when you're able to see through the picture, you'll see another image that's in the background of the picture start come to life. It wasn't just a colorful array of colors, but then you get to see some dolphins playing in the background. It wasn't just colorful array of colors, but then you get to see horses running in the background. And all I'm trying to say to you, brothers and sisters, sometimes you need the Lord to show you yourself so that you can look in the background of your life and see how the Lord has brought you through. It wasn't you that got you here, but somebody's been working on you. Somebody's had patience with you. Somebody's been protecting you. I know you've gone through some stuff, but don't you know if you didn't have the Lord on your side, it could have been worse than what you went through to begin with? Y'all didn't get that one, but some of y'all get this one. Oftentimes, when me and Alicia get up at the same time together, she's sitting down at her vanity with her mirror and all of her makeup, and she's getting herself together to go to work. And then I'll get up early and I'll start putting on my clothes, and while she's sitting there, I'm looking here because there's this full-length mirror that's on the other side, and I'm putting on my clothes, and I'm putting on my tie, and I'm making sure everything's straight, and then I look down at my wife, and my wife is just looking up at me, and she says, "You, baby, you are in my light, and because you're in my light, I can't get myself together that I need to." Sometimes you got to tell some people to get out of your way because they're blocking your light. They're an obstacle to what the Lord's trying to do, and you ain't gonna put yourself together while somebody's in your life. My wife says, "If you don't get out of my life, I'ma look here like I'm crazy when I walk out of here. My makeup won't be straight. My lipstick could be crooked." Your problem is you trying to get yourself together, but something's hindering God's blessing on you. And until you get them out of your way, then you won't act right. Your blessing won't be right. You won't be all right. You got to start telling some folk, "Get out of my light. You ain't a help, you a hindrance. You an obstacle of God's plan for my life." Even Zacharias had to climb up a sycamore tree so that he can get a better image of who Jesus is. Sometimes if they won't move, you got to move. Find your sycamore tree so that you can see the Lord a whole lot better. But you can't get to Jesus. Jesus can always get to you. You may not recognize him, but he knows all about you. For Jesus says, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself." That's what the resurrection about. That's because you couldn't get to Jesus. You couldn't move your obstacle. You couldn't handle your problem. You couldn't talk to your problem and make your problem disappear. But Jesus Christ died on the cross of crucifixion. But he had to declare that he has all power in his hands. And he didn't just talk about that before he died. But as when he got up out of the grave, you can declare that Jesus has all power in his hands. When you can't move, the Lord will move on your behalf. The Lord is calling to you. He's trying to get your attention. He wants you to see him. He wants you to follow him. More importantly, he wants you to give your life to him so that you and I can be more like him. We open up the doors of the church today that you may receive this Jesus Christ in your life. That this Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. But it's not about baptism. It's not even about joining the church. But it is about relationship. If you walk with him and talk with him, the Bible says, "Confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." If you want a relationship with the Lord, don't lie on God. Don't just talk about it. He wants to get close to you so that he can reshape your eyes, that your eyes can see. He wants to give you some hearing aids so you can hear him better. He wants to give you another word to say so you quit talking about what you're talking about and you'll talk about what he has for you. The Lord is calling to you today. The question is, how will you respond? I know it's Easter. I know you're here for one reason, but God got you here for another. Let us stand today. This is your invitation. Is there another? The Lord is calling. He's calling.
Lord, I thank you for this day.
This is your invitation.
That was not promised to me.
Why are you waiting?
Lord, I thank you for my health and strength and saving me one day. When I think about the things I want, not the things God knows I really need.
Pray for your neighbor. Pray for the one in
and
front of you. Pray for the one behind you.
For me.
They need something today. That's why they're here. Pray for them.
We complain about our shoes. When some people don't have no feet, we complain about no harmony, but still the Lord does speak.
There's still time.
But when I think about the things
somebody's
I want,
for you.
Not the things
still time.
God knows I really need them. They're miracles and blessings for me. We need to trust God more. I've learned to love Him so. I believe I'll keep the faith in what I cannot see.
Yeah.
But when I think about the things I want, not the things God knows I really need, the miracle and blessing.
And blessing.